Hello, everyone. I'm George from Ireland. I'm going to briefly assess the accusation that Sir Winston Churchill, the then Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, caused or exacerbated the Bengal famine in India, 1942 to 45, which killed at least 2 million people. People who died of starvation with no food or whatsoever, malnutrition, had food just insufficient, and that was often a contributory factor to dying of other illnesses. Because when they're debilitated by malnutrition, they were more vulnerable to dying of diseases they otherwise would have survived. And obviously, context is everything. This is during the Second World War, when there was a shortage of everything, of food itself, of transportation. And Churchill had many, many problems on his desk at the same time, trying to win a war of survival, as many would say it, for civilization, a war that the Congress Party in India had supported. Though they disliked not being consulted when the UK declared war, or the Viceroy in India, Lord Linlithgow, declared war. The Indian Communist Party was definitely behind the war effort from 1941, the invasion of the Soviet Union. The Muslim League was neutral, so was the Hindu Mahasabha, and so forth. So we'll go into it. Remember, in those days, it was United India, including what's today Bangladesh and Pakistan. What is today Bangladesh was part of Bengal at the time. And it's not true that the United Kingdom had total control in 1947, or even at the high Raj had complete control. Obviously, there were almost 600 princely states where indigenous Indian hereditary rulers had a very wide degree of latitude. And by 1947, in every province, there was an elected legislature. So Indian politicians had a great deal of control, just they didn't have total independence. It's not the case as a quantum leap from complete British control to complete independence. It was an evolution over around 50 years in British India as opposed to the princely states. So much of the credit or the blame must be laid at the door of the elected government of Bengal, the Prime Minister of Bengal, who subsequently has been declared a national hero of Bangladesh. So if it was so terrible, why on earth were the Bangladeshis, and they're half the people who are descended from the victims of the Bengal famine, why would they exalt him as a national hero? But anyway, so we go on. Anyway, 1942, the Japanese were at the gates of India. They indeed managed to seize some of mainland India, as well as the Andaman and Nicobar islands. So a lot of bridges were destroyed in Bengal to slow the Japanese advance. A lot of boats were deliberately destroyed, and so forth. Anyway, so rice yield apparently was slightly up. It was often a problem of distribution of all this. So some merchants tried to exploit the situation by increasing the prices. There was speculation, there was panic buying, and so forth. And food supplies were not great. The Indian separatists were sabotaging the railway network, and that was obviously going to aggravate the situation. So there were shipments of grain passing India, but the Japanese Navy was very active in the Bay of Bengal, sinking many ships. Should more ships be sent to India? Well, that wouldn't do much good if it all ended up at Davy Jones's locker, and so forth. Nevertheless, I think more should have been done. So the War Cabinet in the United Kingdom eventually apprised of the severity of the situation. So because over a ton of grain had been shipped to Bengal was it early 1943 and so forth. Okay, there were severe food shortages all over the world, malnutrition in most European countries at the time. So then, in the 4th of August 1943, Sir Winston Churchill's cabinet, he ordered 150,000 tons of barley and wheat should be dispatched to Bengal and so on. Okay, and there was more shipments after that. Obviously, it wasn't enough to save anyone. Can think of any famine that was always completely averted. More foodstuffs from Canada, Australia, Iraq, which is also under Britannic superintendence at the time. I won't bore you with all the data, every possible statistics, and so on. So the Lord Wavell was the Viceroy of India by, was it 1943, the former commander of the Indian Army, and so forth. All right, so it was often a difficulty of logistics and so forth. But yeah, it's still terrible that people died, and yes, it's lamentable, regret every death. Now, life expectancy was very low at the time. So how do we know how many people died? Not many people were issued with death certificates. We don't even reliably know the population, as a lot of people weren't issued with birth certificates. The literacy rate in India is about 20%. That'd mean a reliable census and so forth. So even when people did die, is impossible to prove that the person died because of the famine or not, or died of something else, of cancer or an accident or drowning or a heart attack or anything like that. But yeah, there's no doubt that there was a high death toll from that. And there were people who were in an emaciated state walking around who were little more than walking skeletons. So yeah, the United Kingdom did what it could be good if there was more Indian charity. And there was Indian charity, compassionate people who tried to save their compatriots. Now, the case against India is often, against Churchill is often that he made some very disobliging remarks about Indians. And he said some rather unflattering things about both Hinduism and indeed Islam. But he was a bit better disposed towards Islam towards the end, because the Muslim League said that whilst they would not support the war effort, neither would they oppose it. And the fact that therefore none of their politicians were interned on this wartime emergency war legislation. But Churchill was sometimes criticised by other people like Leopold Amory, his Secretary of State for India and Burma. So that was it. Okay. So it's really bogus to say that he's responsible for it, but yes, I mean, more could have been done for that. And, you know, the Congress Party and the Muslim League and so forth, why weren't they raising hell about it? That was surely a higher priority than independence. In 1942, the United Kingdom had publicly promised to confer independence on India within 3 years of the defeat of Japan, and indeed honored that promise and granted independence within 2 years of Japanese defeat, 2 years to the day. This is cock-up rather than conspiracy. Why would Churchill want to do that? What possible gain would there be to weaken and enfeeble India, which he wanted, you know, part to stay in the British Empire, realised in 1942 it wasn't going to stay in the Commonwealth. And he really thought the Commonwealth could be a force in the world. Many people did for some years after independence that the Commonwealth would act in concert, and largely it didn't. And by inflicting starvation on India, it was going to make people more likely to rebel and throw in their lot with the Japanese, or some doing anyway. And one of the arguments against sending too much food to Bengal is it would just fall into the hands of the Japanese army and so forth. And obviously, if Japan hadn't attacked India, and India had not attacked the Japanese Empire at all, there wouldn't have been this destruction of boats and bridges and a lot of transport. Otherwise, boats, trains, trucks, planes, which was being used for the war effort, wouldn't have been used for the war effort. There wouldn't have been a war effort. The Congress Party had long excoriated Japanese aggression against China. And there's this bogus notion that they obviously, that the Japanese would somehow have left India alone were it not in the Britannic Empire. But this is patently false, because they invaded China, which wasn't, or Thailand or various other places. All right. What say you? Thanks for watching my video. Do what you can to subscribe. Donate to me on PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com, and correct these anti-Churchill myths. I'm not a reflexive defender of Churchill, and I heavily criticize him. You can see my other work. Thanks for watching. Toodaloo.